This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. On this Thursday morning, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales and Boyd's One Stop. All right, looking at the weather down on Galveston on the island this morning, it's 68 degrees. And today they're calling for abundant sunshine, high of 76, south winds 10 to 20. Tonight, clear skies, low near 63, southwest winds 10 to 15. And then for tomorrow, sunny with a high of 79, northeast winds 5 to 10. Well, that's a swing around. 180 degrees, 5 to 10 out of the northeast. All right. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high coming up at 3:30. Well, it just occurred at 3:36 a.m. It was a 1.3. Then our next tide will be a low at 10:15 a.m. It's a 1.06. And then a high at 4:02 p.m., a 1.2, and a low tonight at 10:12 p.m., an 0.6. 6:58 a.m. at sunrise, 7:43 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase is 90%. And looking at current conditions, offshore, it looks like it's south-southwest at 16 to 18. Water temp out there is 69.8. Air temperature 69.6, pretty much on the money. And Galveston Channel at 68 degrees with 71-degree water, a south-southwest wind at 6 to 10. Eagle Point, south-southwest, 11 to 13, water temp there, 69. Morgan's Point, water temp almost 70, 69.6, and it's south at 8 to 13. Barometric pressure is 30.09 inches and steady. All right, that pretty much does it. Let's get to the call lines now. Let's run over to Sabine Lake and check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what he's up to. Good morning, Bill. How's it going?
Well, I am heading out to fish this morning.
Right.
So hopefully it'll all work out.
Well, hope your water's shaping up over there.
I hope so, too.
Water looked terrible yesterday, man. I covered a lot of ground, and I had to fish in just marginal water, you know, from that low tide and then the tide bulling back in and the wind coming up and after a north wind at 30. what a roller coaster, man.
Yeah, it has been,
I think,
buddy.
The best water I fished in yesterday might have had a foot of visibility.
Oh, man, you can't mean that.
Yeah.
The last time I went fishing 8 days ago was like, I think maybe I had 3 to 4 inches of visibility.
Oh, man.
It looked like coffee with cream.
I should have been proud of what I had to work with.
You should have. That's no doubt. Oh, man. It's just been. But, you know, the wind has just kept me in port. I have not been able to get out, and the calls quit coming except for later in April, you know.
Yeah,
I'm booking trips like crazy for the last 2 weeks of April.
Tell them just hang in there. You might have to slide them up another week or two. You never know right now where the weather is.
It's just it's crazy, and winter's trying to hold on. It's got to where any more during the fall, that's when you get your stable weather. And then after that, it's crazy again.
It was a beautiful day. It was beautiful, but boy, wind did come up later like they said it would. Started out calm, it just kept. Well, I had three different wind directions yesterday. I had southwest for a while. Then it kind of laid down, then it switched to south and picked up, and then laid a little bit, and then went southeast.
Did you catch any fish?
We didn't light the world on fire. It was a trash can slam kind of day. We caught gaff top. We caught specks. We caught reds. We caught flounder, and even had a stingray on a purple Little John in the mouth.
Oh, no.
In the mouth.
Oh. Well, I believe that a Little John will catch anything.
Man, I had one red that was like a little bit over 36 inches, and it was so fat. I usually don't take pictures of them, but I had to this one, and it weighed 33 pounds. I mean, it was a toad. I thought it was a drum, you know, so the way it was fighting, you know, to reel it in.
That
it
is just amazing.
It was just a strange day. Oh, I'm glad I canceled my trip for yesterday. I just took a couple of buddies of mine, and I'm glad I didn't take them and put them through that garbage.
Well, hey, it just depends on how bad they want to go.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you got to tell them up front, hey, we might not be able to find them. But, I mean, my crew today, I told them, I said, I ain't been on the water in 8 days. Wind has had, it's been screaming.
I know,
and
man.
Nobody wanted to go. So it wasn't any point. But hopefully I'll be able to find them, I think.
Well, you want to give your people a fair shake, you know. Costs a lot of money to go fishing nowadays.
Boy, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You
want to give them a fair shake, and hey.
Yeah, I thought a couple times this year already I was going to have to invoke my half-price rule. But somehow we managed to pull it out every time, you know, even on those windy days, I just managed to scratch them out. God's been good to me like that. We wound up catching a good mess of fish every time. Not as many as I wanted sometimes, but at least we had some places to fish. The problem I'm thinking right now is, which way do I go this morning? I'm going to put it in a causeway. Do I go around
right
the
or left?
East?
Or left or right?
Yeah. Do I go right or left? And I'm thinking that with wind supposed to be out of the south-southwest, I think maybe... Maybe I'll go down the channel this morning, because that's where I found the fish the last time. And I believe they'll be there. I do believe. So it'll be all right. I'm banking on them. You know, there's when they set up somewhere in a certain area, they tend to stay there unless something happens that moves them. And that happening is usually when the water starts salting up, they want to go north.
Mm-hmm.
And even the tide runners will abandon an area down there in the south end of the lake and go north. They all like to go up there, and I guess the bait moves.
Well, that's where the bait comes from, you know, all the shad hatches and everything, and finger mullet.
That's where it comes from.
Comes from the marshes, and they can smell it on those outgoing tides. They just follow the scent, man.
Yeah.
It's like tracking a coon across a muddy riverbed. Just follow the tracks, man.
But I'm thinking that we've got a lot of salt water out of that blow we got.
Yeah, that's another good exchange, because, man, that tide was absolutely gone. And it roared back. It came back quick. But it sure stirred the water up as it did, you know.
And oh, man, yeah.
That tide was rushing out so hard yesterday morning, it was just streaking all my water up, just turning it into mud. It was terrible. We got so much silt, though. When you get a hard tide exchange, it messes water up big time.
Yeah, so much for sand and shale anymore.
Yeah, we're into coffee creamer mud, real silt.
Yeah, I fear that... we're going that way over here too. They're fixing to they pumped out that South Levee pool.
Mm-hmm.
They pumped all the water out of it except the canal around the edge where they dug it up, and they're fixing to put some dredge spoil in there, which is good that they've got a place to put it. you know, that's an interesting thing, that they at least are trying to not pump it back into the bay anymore.
Right.
So hopefully that they'll utilize that. That's a big pool and it has lots of room in it. But they're finally going to deepen and widen that channel. I don't know when the funding is going to come. Maybe Doge will stop that.
We wish.
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want them to. I don't know what they're going to do with the roads on both sides.
Yeah, you kind of don't have much real estate on either side of that channel, you know.
Where you turn on 82 off the MLK Bridge,
right.
Turn left, go down to the end of Pleasure Island, there's a stretch right there that it falls off 35 or 40 feet down into the ship channel.
Yeah, that's not good.
If you run off the road right there, you're going down.
You're done.
Yeah, you're going to wind up in the channel at best.
So drunk drivers don't go east on 82 from the MLK.
No.
You'll end up in the ship channel, man.
The plant traffic down there, buddy, you better keep your tobacco in the middle of your mouth. Don't spit, because I'm telling you, those guys come around you down there. It's a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, and they're going 75 and 80.
Oh, Lord.
And they don't like boats going 60. I mean, to tell you, they'll pass you on double lines on a curve. I even had one pass me on the bridge one time. And that terrified me. It wasn't even on the downside. It was on the upside. And I'm like, oh, man, he's got a death wish.
I remember pulling over there all the time, just, man, the way people drive going to work, risking their lives and everybody else's.
Oh, yeah.
Just get up a little bit earlier and go, you know, instead of, man, flying, weaving in and out of vehicles. And boy, they do hate getting in behind boats.
I know it, because I don't pull over 60 miles an hour.
Well, tailgate you.
I'm speeding at 60, okay?
Right.
Going down that island. And they're passing me like I'm standing still. Yeah, that's a pucker factor right there.
It is.
But all this industry, that's what it takes to keep things going. We'd be back in the old days with no good outboards and no boats, except wooden ones, dugouts.
Yeah.
You ever paddle the dugout canoe?
Yes.
Me too. Them things are heavy.
Like a one-legged duck.
That's it. Oh, shoot, man.
All right, let me knock this commercial break out, Bill. I'll come back. I'll be right back at you. All right, man. Well, hey, anglers, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April the 25th in Matagorda, Texas. They're kicking things off Thursday night on the 24th. Join us at the captain's meeting in Calcutta dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch. Rudy's barbecue, cold drinks, and a chance to get in on the action before the lines even hit the water. Then it's game on. They'll have a safe light launch Friday morning and weigh in at the harbor from 2 to 4 p.m. Bring your A game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry fee is just $400 per team. And here's the best part. Your entry includes an all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. Proceeds benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association, helping get more kids on the water and into the outdoors. Spots are filling fast, so register today at matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com, and get ready to slam. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back.
Well, you were talking last time about the salty hundo reel.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I broke down and ordered a couple of them.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. And a whole pile of Little Johns to go with it.
Atta boy.
Just about to use up my Little John stock.
You know, it's hard. You know, it's hard to use them up. They're so tough and last for so long.
They are tough. they're really a good.
The only way to ruin one is just rip it off the jig head, you know, take it off.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets to looking like Velcro after a while.
I like that. It looks like powdered sugar all over that.
Yeah.
The little teeth marks are all in there. These pencils leave nice little teeth marks.
Yeah, they do.
But when you're in small trout like that, that's a good bait to put on. You don't have to keep changing them out. You know, with the softer baits, some of them that I really like, you know, those little pencils get to shaking that head, jumping out of the water, and they tear those baits up real easily. You know, they rip them.
Yeah,
Little John won't rip.
Yeah, there's
probably have there's a set of tires made out of your old Little Johns, and they'll last forever.
Anyway, what kind of line you putting on those reels?
The two I got spooled up. I got them spooled up with mono with Berkeley Sensation 12-pound.
Okay,
and, man, that's some strong line. I caught a big old giant red yesterday, and I just got on him. Plus, I got a new Sarge rod I've been fishing with, and over there from your area where they make them. And I put the heat on that rod yesterday with that giant red, and it didn't break. The line didn't either.
That's what you call good service right there.
I'd have put my thumb on him and busted him off, but I just made put a new shock leader on and everything. Just tied a new leader and a new jig head on. I might as well get my workout for the day.
I haven't tried that Berkeley Sensation. Probably a really good line though.
Plog turned me on to that, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I was fishing with him and I said, man, that line casts good. He throws 10, because you can throw 10 a lot farther than 12. But, man, where I fish in a lot of places, there's a lot of rocks and shell. And I wanted just a little bit extra confidence and, you know, just that 12-pound on abrasion resistance. And it holds up good. I mean, it's it doesn't stretch a lot, and it lasts a long time. You can spool up, and you don't have to re-spool all the time. It'll last a good while.
I'm using 10-pound P line on one of my reels, and that stuff. I mean, it always tests way stronger than what it is.
Right.
And they don't put the diameter of the line on there, and I think that's why they don't put that on the spool. But that's been some good stuff. But it'll finally get stiff after a while, so you have to change it out. But and I've got Berkeley Big Game Brown on the other reel that I use, and it's I think it's actually thinner, but it won't stand what P-line will.
Right.
I mean, it's just not abrasive resistant at all. That's a pretty cheap line, but you know, Berkeley makes good stuff. Everything they make is good.
I've had real good luck with Berkeley mono over the years.
Oh yeah, I've used what do they call that, extra tough or whatever it is.
Yeah, they used to make the Trilene XT.
XT, boy, I bass fished with that, and that you could depend on it.
And I think that's Big Game probably replaced that. I think that's when they went to the new Big Game whatever process and making theirs. Remember the Trilene XL, that extra limp? It was great casting line, but it just wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't hold up abrasion wise.
No,
like the XT or the Big Game.
Yeah, we had to get away from that. Even fishing in the bushes up there at Rayburn and stuff, you know, it just wouldn't take what the XT would. So, you know, that's where we went with that. And we used to use XT-14, and that was just pretty much, you could even throw a wacky worm with that.
Yeah, you could garfish with that.
Yeah, you sure can.
It was tough stuff, man.
But
XT, that's what it stood for, extra tough.
Yeah, that's what it does. And we found it real consistent from spool to spool. So that's what we settled in on up there. Of course, that was back in 98 and beyond that. Seems like ancient history now. But anyway, well, I'm going to try those reels out, see how good they do.
You know, I think too much bait was my problem yesterday. I mean, there were shad anywhere from thumbnail size up to about 4 inches by the clouds on my bottom machine. You wouldn't know they were, well, if you didn't look at your machine, you wouldn't think there's any shad in the water. Do you reel the fish in and all of them start spraying and coming out of the water all around the boat, and mullet too.
Yeah,
all that mullet was down, and it's like when the bait came up, all the mullet were flipping, and you're going, man, I can't believe I'm not getting bit. Those four mullet jumped out of the water at the same time. There's a fish chasing them. Couldn't get a bite. And when all the mullet went down, then the bite picked up about 11:30, 12 o'clock. What bite there was. I mean, it was not good by any means. But I had good sticks in the boat, including myself, and we were able to get bites and catch a few. But, boy, I'd have hated to have a crew out there yesterday that didn't know what they were doing. It'd been a miserable day.
Now, some days you need professionals in the boat.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you take pros every time. You'd really look good.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
It doesn't lend itself well when the fish are scattered like that. And my favorite fishing excuse of all time, too much bait in the water.
Too much bait. Yeah, boys, too much bait. We got to go where there's not any.
Yeah, and that's what you were looking for at first.
Well, if you like streaking putrid water, I had plenty of it to fish in yesterday. Full of bait, though.
That is a factor.
I never saw one slick pop up yesterday, and a week ago they were slicking like crazy.
No kidding.
Yeah, not one slick.
I hadn't seen a real slick this year.
Well, they've been slicking good over here for a while.
I've been catching them where there are no slicks.
Well, maybe there's no fish.
Maybe it's because
I've been fishing where there's no fish or no slicks.
Well, there's a lot of small trout, and I think it takes a certain size trout to slick anyway. I've been in them in swarms. The smaller fish, they were thick in the water and no slicks. So it's like, you know, couldn't even get a spook slick. I'm like wondering, what in the world is going on here? All these fish, and none of them are feeding or belching or nothing. So I don't know what the deal is.
Well, good luck figuring these fish out. It's a game we've been playing forever.
That's right. And I'll tell you what I haven't seen in a long, long time is mud boils. I mean, of course, if you got water that's so dirty you can't see mud
boils. It's kind of hard to see mud boils when it's muddy, you know. Unless you're on some really big bull drum, and I mean, they're just churning the bottom up big time like a dredge. You can usually see it, but... Boy, we used to get mud boils that looked like shrimpers been dragging through there.
January and February, the lake was pretty clear. You know, dark, stained clear, and you could have seen a mud boil, but those fish were being pretty subtle at that time. They were hanging around the mouth of the bayous in deep water, 9-10 feet.
Right.
And that's where you had to fish to catch them. But anyhow...
Oh, well.
Well, I got to get out of here. I got to go get me a couple of bags of ice. And
that's it. Ice up, gas up, rig up,
yep.
Let her rip, baby. I hope you get them, man. Well, Bill, if somebody wants to come over there and fish with you, how do they get a hold of you?
409-673-9211.
All right, break a leg and good luck.
FishSabineLake.com.
Atta boy. All right, Bill. We'll see you, man. Later.
All right.
All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:33 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go up to Conroe. Let's check in with the fish dude this morning. Hey, Richard, what's going on?
Well, not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good, brother. I'm good.
I hear you. I tell you what, it's hard to believe. The other day I got up and there's dang ice on my windshield. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Isn't that
it's
something?
April. I know it don't make a lick of dang sense, but I'll tell you what, it's still fishing, still pretty good. The wind finally settled down on us a little bit, got rid of that rain and stuff, so everything's good. It's now yesterday I wasted a whole bunch of time chasing them hybrids. I mean, good night, them dang things. I got out there and them rascals, I'd find a school of them, get set up and everything, then find the bait. Then next thing I know, they're all gone. It's like, what the heck? Where'd they go? And so I get to looking for some more and find another group of them and get all set up. Here they go, disappeared again. Then there's a couple of spots pulled up on them, and they were there. They just wouldn't eat nothing. It's like, okay, that's enough of this mess. So we was going to go crappie fishing and stuff like that, but it just kind of got to where everybody was ready to catch some fish. We just went and jumped on some catfish and caught some pretty good ones there. So it wasn't too bad there, but I'll tell you what, it was different yesterday. You know, started out wearing a jacket, ended up needing short sleeves. So
I didn't have enough on.
I hear you. Well, I tell you what, it's cold yesterday. I guarantee you, it wore me out. And then Tuesday night, for example. I mean, Tuesday night, I was fishing that Tuesday night tournament and stuff, and yeah. I bet. There's still a bunch of dang fish on beds and stuff, so I pulled up and I found a couple of them that were on beds. It was probably 6.5-7 pounds, and there was actually three of them on this one bed. One of them was about 7 pounds, the other was about 5, and another one about 4.5 or so, and I thought, well, this is easy enough, and I'm going to give up a trade secret here, and I normally don't do this, but it's Yeah, I know. It's one of them deals. Well, see, I get out and I walk the banks a lot. Now, a lot of people have started doing that. You know, this time of year when they're up on the beds, you can get out and walk the shorelines. And when you find them, you know, you're at a more elevated position than you are in a boat. So you can see them better in the water whenever you spot them like that. Now, one of the things about it is if you can see them, they can see you. That's what I tell people all the time. So the closer you get, the worse off you are. You want to stay back away from them as far as you can. So I walk along the banks, and then I've like these three that were on this one bed. I said, well, I got these figured out. So I took me some pine cones, and I stuck them up on the bank where I knew right in front of where they were at. So that way I could pull up and get a good casting distance away from them. Normally you catch them real quick doing that. But, man, I worked on those fish for an hour and a half, and I finally caught one little 2.5-pound buck bass off of it, and it's like, you've got to be kidding. I never pulled up there to see if there was anything that had spooked them out or anything, but there shouldn't have been. I'd actually looked at them. The tournament starts at 5:45 in the evening, and I was looking at them at 5:20, so I know dang good and well they were sitting there.
Yeah.
And so I chunked at them for an hour and a half and could not get those rascals to bite. So I kind of went in search mode and all that stuff and had, so I got that 1 2.5-pounder, and then I went over to this other little spot that's normally good for at least a 5 to 8-pound fish. Chunked out there with a jerk bait, popped it a couple of times, and man, that son gun hit it. And as soon as he did, I bowed up on that thing, and that rascal shot up. I guarantee he went straight in the air, probably 3 feet. and then chunked that jerk bait right back at me. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. And I know it was close. It was 7 to 7.5 pound fish that, I mean, just launched. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, this thing just shot like he done lit a fire under his tail, and he comes straight up. And I mean, I could not believe it. It just wasn't my night, I guess. But as you know, it was fun because I knew those fish were there. And it's when you see those big fish like that, especially when you know, like that one with the jerk bait, when I hooked into it, I mean, they just normally don't launch like that one did. And I mean, it's just a sight to see. But you know, it's no good when you don't get them in the boat. But it's, yeah, it's one of them things. But we're going to try some hybrids and crappie today, see how they want to act. You know, if the hybrids don't do very good this morning right off the bat, we're just going to jump straight into some crappie. And this will be my first crappie trip of the year, so we'll see how it works out. It ought to do pretty good because they've been trying to do pretty decent anyway. So it's hopefully some of my efforts and everybody else's efforts about staying off of them during the spawn is helping out. You know, I'm still seeing, you know, the population's down, but hopefully it's making a comeback because I've noticed some of these other guys some of the other guides on the lake that start a little bit earlier than I do, they've been doing pretty well. So
it would be nice to see Conroe come back on crappie like it used to be, man. Boy, y'all used to hammer.
We did. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I remember, you know, I tell people this all the time. Back in the 90s, between me, Butch Turpie, and Debbie Watson, whenever we were all guiding out of Stowaway, we every day for 100 days straight, we would come in with no less than 500 crappie a day, every single day. And it's like, you know, then they started declining, and I was wondering why. Well, you know, back then I kind of picked up on, we're fishing for them during the spawn. Whenever they'll bite, we're fishing for them. And that, you know, then I started noticing the difference because not only were us three doing it, everybody on the lake was doing it. You know, Tex and JC and Wayne and Billy and, you know, everybody out there was doing it. So, you know, the population started declining in about 2000, 2001. And so I backed off of them during the spawn. Now, everybody else kept going, but during the spawn, I backed off of them way back then because I saw it coming. And then we had COVID hit, and everybody and their brother became a guide, and they were out there crappie fishing and just wearing them out during the spawn and catching them in that shallow water and stuff. You know, so that kind of just decimated them right there. And, you know, like I've said before, I've been trying to get Parks and Wildlife to put a closed season on them. I wish they still would, you know, and I'm still going to kind of mess with them a little bit about it and just to try to help that population boost them along.
Good luck with that.
I know. But it's one of those things where, you know, people don't think about Conroe being in such close proximity to Houston and all the fishermen that come out, especially for the crappie. They do it for the hybrids also because I had to, you know, for a long time I had people sending in letters to Parks and Wildlife about the hybrids because what happens is when they come out and do a krill study, you know, they'll have their boat that comes out and they'll pull up next to you and say, you know, they'll ask you a bunch of questions about what type of fishing you're doing, how many fish you got, you know, what kind of baits are you using, they ask different questions about different things. Well, one thing that they'll ask you is, what are you fishing for? Well, most people, when they're hybrid fishing, they say, we're fishing for stripers. Well, they have to write down that you're fishing for stripers. There are no stripers in Lake Conroe, but they have to write that down.
Right.
So, but what they do is they get a false reading there because people are hybrid striped bass fishing, not striped bass fishing. And so when they do that, they don't tend to stock as many by people making that simple mistake of saying we're striped bass fishing. So it's one of those things where for a long time I had like a little old letter I emailed to a whole bunch of people. I said, email this to Parks and Wildlife. All you have to do is send it from your email to this email here, and it's done. It's simple. You know, and just send that in to them, say, I hybrid striped bass fish on Lake Conroe, and they'll continue to stock. Because for for about 3 years, they quit stocking them on Conroe, and you really notice the population decline. But since then, they continue, you know, they've been doing really good about stocking them every year. And you know, I'm glad of it because there's, you know, just like with the crappie, there's a lot of fishermen that do nothing but exclusively hybrid fish. And, you know, they get out there and they hammer on them, you know, and that's one of the things. Plus, you get the other people that can't, you know, they misidentify the fish and they keep those short hybrids and thinking they're big white bass, you know, and stuff like that. And that's, you know, that's one of those costly mistakes if you make it, you know, and get caught, you know. But you know, a lot of times, you know, people get away with it. But, you know, it's one of those things. I try to educate people on it all the time and show them the differences and tell them how to tell the difference between the two, because you don't want to make that particular mistake, you know, not only for the good of the lake, but for your pocketbook too. So it's you know, it's just one of those deals where you start learning to identify the fish. And believe it or not, there's some of the game wardens that can't really tell you the difference between striped bass and a white bass. I mean, if you get a white bass on Conroe, which they're not used to seeing a lot of, they'll misidentify that for a hybrid sometimes. And I'll sit there and tell them, okay, you got to check the tooth patches.
Yeah, I got to check the tooth patches on the tongue, right?
That's it. You got two on the hybrid and one on the white. So
right.
That's the difference. You got to check those tooth patches. And plus the coloration's different. The fins are slightly different. You know, it's really hard to tell by the fins, but if you look at them closely, you can tell. But the coloration, for the most part, is really different. You know, the white bass have a more of a dingy looking tint to them, where the hybrids have they're just a green fish. They're not a pale looking fish. Now, like if you put them in a cooler or something, they'll tend to change colors. You know, but that's after, you know, that's after their demise anyway. So. And in the summer months, you know, they'll heat up and stuff like that, and they tend to turn yellow instead of green. But it's pretty obvious when you pull them out of the water which one's which, to me, you know, because I've caught so dang many of them. But it's, you know, it's a blast when you get it all figured out and just do it right. You know, that's the main thing. And then those, you know, after they stock them every year, they'll start popping up in the middle of the lake, schooling on the surface, and that's when people think they're white bass. That's the, because they'll look just like them. You know, they're 12 inches long, 10, 12 inches long, and they'll be out there just jerking them in the boat left and right. Oh man, I got a bunch of white bass. You look at them, say, you better chuck them back. wrong flavor there, brother. But it's all good. Ain't no doubt. So, but I tell you what. I'm just ready for everything to get going, this weather to get settled down. That's the main thing. So, yeah, so that's the biggest part about it, getting this weather settled down. But I guess that wind's going to start blowing again. I know. So how was your week? Did you do any good?
No, I did well. Monday was total blowout. And Tuesday, waiting on the water to come back. Yesterday was, it was interesting.
to say the least,
I'm telling you.
That's the thing. That dang old wind, like I say, it's been blowing so dang hard here lately. It's hard to deal with. I mean, it's
it works good on my trolling
boat. Good deal.
Oh baby,
good deal. I'm glad it worked out for you.
Boy, you can identify everything with it. It's awesome.
Perfect. That's exactly what we need. And make sure to get you out there and get you in business.
That's it. So well, hey, man, if somebody wants to come up and fish with you, Richard, give them some info how they can reach you, bud.
All right, Mick, anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Catch them up, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
See you now. Later. All right. Now let's run down Matagorda Way. Let's check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky this morning. Charlie P., what's up, bud?
Hey, Mickey. What's happening?
Oh, not a lot. Just getting ready for Masters Week, my favorite week of the year. Turning my phone off this afternoon, and I'm have a golf going.
Who's the favorite this year?
I think they're picking Rory and Scotty Scheffler, poster boys for the PGA, but we might have a dark horse this year.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Well, those Astros have been winning a few games, haven't they?
Yeah, boy, they blew that one yesterday. Boy, I don't what a slap in the face. We're cruising right along. Hunter Brown, man, that guy's just he's turning into just an unbelievable pitcher. And we're up 5-0 in the eighth inning, we end up losing it.
Yeah. That's what I heard. I didn't
had a grand slam, and then we got an insurance run the next inning, and then in the ninth inning, they just said, hey, we're not letting y'all win this. They come back and beat us.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see it, but that's what I heard. Old Kyle Tucker's he's tearing up the league over there.
So is Bregman. Both of them got player of the week last week.
Oh, my God.
Well, good. I'm happy for them. I hope they do real well up there.
Yep. Me too. Me too. Well, I had
all it takes is money. Just pull out the checkbook. Keep them.
Hell yeah!
It's all about the money.
Yep. 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 Well, there's not much going on over here, Mickey. There hadn't been many people fishing all week long with all this wind and low tides. So, you know, there's a few people wading, catching redfish on the banks and. Mm-hmm. And but just not many people fishing at all.
Yeah,
I know big fish. Big fish yesterday. Big fish yesterday. They caught a few fish out there drifting, but it was like with what you were dealing with. That tide came back so strong it had all the water off color.
Well, it brought back all the north wind pushed out water, which dirty on the way out, and then when it came back, it was dirty, and then. Then it rushed out so hard where I was fishing, it was rolling the water up. It was just terrible.
Yeah. I've got to fish today, tomorrow, and Saturday. It should be better. I'm hoping that high pressure moves over.
Yeah, our barometer's still a little bit high. And I kept looking in the air yesterday as slow as fishing was, going, man, is there any floating cobwebs? you know how when you get all those cobwebs floating fishing slow, kind of like a high gray liner.
Right.
We as fishermen are not being successful. We are always looking for excuses.
That's right. And there's plenty of them to use, too.
We got them. Nobody's got excuses like a fisherman.
You know what's funny? I have not seen a group of birds work anywhere. You know, they didn't work with the flip last fall either. But I don't guess there's any shrimp in the bay right now. I just don't know.
I saw a couple of shrimp flip yesterday and couldn't even get a bite under them.
Going, really?
Throwing right on top of them. I go, what is up with this? But
And as far as slicks, I can't tell you last time I saw a slick.
You know, last week they were slicking good, man. They were leaving signs everywhere. And I never saw one yesterday. I fished a lot of areas.
In a mud ball, I couldn't tell you the last time I fished mud balls.
I know.
Used to do it all the time. Things have changed. But we're still catching fish. We're taking catch enough fish to make people happy.
Yeah.
I think we'll do fair today.
It was just good getting out yesterday and get a little sun and wind on your face and crust over a little bit. It could have been worse. I could have been doing nothing.
That's what I've been doing.
I've had plenty of that this year, a lot of nothing.
Oh, my gosh. I get tired of sitting around.
I'm telling you. It's just good to take a boat ride and look things over and fish and, hey, could be worse.
Y'all all salty over there now?
Oh, yeah, it's pure salt everywhere. It's just, man, everything's just so churned up. You know, down south, Galveston area, their water's in better shape, a lot better shape than ours.
Yeah.
I've just got
I'll tell you what, them damn gaff top are out in full force, man.
They're all the way all as far north as they can go up my way. I mean, it seemed like the first one I heard about was about a couple of weeks ago, and hey, they've already invaded my territory.
They've invaded everything.
I'm telling you. They're plentiful. Yeah. I wish trout would multiply like catfish do.
Well, I wish porpoises would eat them instead of eating trout.
They're smarter than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens today and tomorrow, and I think conditions a little bit better now. Got a better chance of catching them.
Well, maybe we can quit getting these fronts. You know, at least, you know, let the wind blow out of the same direction for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Man, when it's
been a different year.
180 degrees one day, and, you know, just, you know, south to north, northeast to southwest, just, hey, round the clock.
Yeah, supposed to be southwest today, northeast tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know what it must be, some kind of little dry line or something coming through to make the wind switch like that. Pressure sliding over or something, some kind of pressure gradient mess.
But please slide over.
Please.
Yeah.
Go over and sit on top of Jeff Goat for a while.
There you go. Stay there.
Oh, well.
That's
I'll be
it.
Watching, I'll be watching the Masters the next 4 days. My favorite week, you know, for golf.
Yep. Yep. That's a lot of good stuff to watch.
Yeah, that's God's country. Augusta Pines, Georgia. Man.
Yep.
What a beautiful place. The Cathedral of Golf.
There you go.
All right, Charlie P. Go. Well, hey, man, somebody wants to come over and fish Matagorda with you, come on.
Yeah, give me a call. 713-725-2401.
You'll even answer the phone, too.
Yep. I'll put you all on some gaff top.
We got them, buddy.
Yeah.
I pulled out at one school, and then we get over there, and I think we caught one little old trout or something and kept fishing, and I said, man, we need to go back and get on that school of gaffies. Get some bites. Get some tuggers.
There you
some
go.
Pullers.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, Charlie, have a good day. I'll talk to you Saturday. See you, man.
Take care, Mickey.
Later. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.